keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be covering a lot of topics today. And we're just a few couple days away from Thanksgiving, so a lot of you are traveling, probably listening to us while you're in your car. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, coming up in just a few days. We're going to talk about, because as we're giving thanks here in the United States for the liberties and freedoms we have, we've been focusing a couple of times on our broadcast over the last month or so, Logan, on our office in Pakistan, because one of our lawyers that supervised that office from the United States just came back from Pakistan, Shahari Argil, and we got a very good report about the work they're doing. I saw a report, CCNI reviewed a report, I think it was just last week, and the amount of work that's coming out of that office in Pakistan on persecution issues, and I'm talking about, folks, I mean, real persecution.
Real persecution.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you can't have your Bible in school and somebody's objecting. I mean, those are important discrimination cases. You handle those. I'm talking about people losing their lives because of their faith or put in jail for life because of their faith.
Yeah, we're going to be exposing a lot of that and showcasing that also in upcoming video pieces and documentaries. There's so much incredible footage that's come out of there.
On the Pakistan.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to come out over the next year. And I think that's the work of the ACLJ. Sometimes when you get in these political seasons, you don't necessarily see all of that work. Sometimes we can't talk about all that work, but it is assuredly happening. It is something that is very important to everyone and everyone who works here and the crew that works here to make sure these kind of messages, not just what's going on in the world of Washington and, like you said, what would be considered Christian persecution in America. This is the real deal. This is stuff that's happening all over the world, and we have offices and we have people who are ready to work everywhere.
Now, it's interesting to me that, so you look at the situation in Pakistan, we're able to address it in Pakistan, but also at the United Nations, where we have non-governmental organization status, so we can intervene in all of these cases, arbitrary detention. I mean, there's a whole list of them. So the work, when you're talking about a particular country, takes on multi-facets when we're handling it.
Yeah, and what's amazing about our work in Pakistan is how successful we've been able to be in these cases. And like you said, we're talking about, you know, real persecution where, you know, a 17-year-old kid is accused of falsely of blasphemy and he's been sitting in prison for 5 years and we're able to, you know, help represent him, or, you know, a Christian who's murdered simply because he's trying to protect other Christian women that are being targeted by, you know, Muslim men, and then they go to his house and murder him. And in Pakistan, we're able to actually help the prosecution in those cases, or, you know, a little 3-year-old girl that was raped by a Muslim man. Those are cases that we're able to jump in, help prosecute, and we've been winning. And so we're really, really making a difference, you know, in Pakistan, which is an area where you might not think that we would be able to, but we are.
And that includes also, though, not just work in the country, but I also want to talk for a moment here about the United Nations. Like I said, we have non-governmental organization status at the UN. We've filed reports on every country of concern when it comes up. They call it these periodic reports.
Right.
Constantly. This is a lot of what CC does is we're filing. There's usually a 14 per session.
Yes. So we have the Universal Periodic Review. Literally, will review every one of the 193 member states at the UN over a 5-year period. And there's 3 sessions a year. And in each one of those sessions, there are 14 countries that we review. And so we do reports on those. We also do reports when the Human Rights Council meets, which is, again, 3 times a year.
Yep.
We do countries that are really the persecution countries, like Pakistan, and we're able to do oral interventions as well. And so we're constantly engaging at the United Nations.
I'm telling you, folks, in that work, I will tell you this, over the next couple of years is going to increase drastically. I can't go into the details of that right now, but I will tell you that's where your support comes in. We can staff these situations, staff these offices, expand our outreach based on your support of the ACLJ. Logan's going to let you know how you can participate in the Matching Challenge campaign, folks. We are getting near the end of November here. It's really important that you do it.
Yeah, it's very easy. You just go to ACLJ.org and make a donation of any kind. And essentially, there is another donor ready to unlock and match your donation. So if you give $10, effectively it becomes $20, and so on and so on. And we appreciate it. I know this is a hard time on a lot of people right now with what's going on in the world. But if you do have the means, this would be a great time to give, because, again, your donation is effectively doubled. So visit ACLJ.org right now to be part of the Matching Challenge.
Hey,
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Okay, Rick Riddell, our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, joining us now. Break down some of this with China, now that we're getting more about the meeting that President Biden had. First face-to-face meeting President Biden has had with President Xi. I wanted to play this bite and then get Rick's reaction. It's Joe Biden, bite number six, just from in, I think, Bali, but bite six.
We're going to compete vigorously, but I'm not looking for conflict. I'm looking to manage this competition responsibly. And I want to make sure that every country abides by the international rules of the road. And we discussed that.
So he discussed that, Rick, but we know China is probably the leading country that does not abide by his, quote, rules of the road.
Look, this is laughable to think that somehow there's international rules of the road and that everybody is going to abide by them. That is the strategic mistake of the Biden administration and many Democrats, is they believe in this global order. And then we abide by these climate change limitations, and China and India and Nigeria and all sorts of other countries don't. And so we're getting, you know, the bad end of these negotiations, and we have our head in the sand if we think that somehow other countries are going to abide. This is the opposite of America First, which is consensus with the world and an assumption that somehow other countries are going to play by the rules. Again, Jordan, you know this. Our viewers should know this, but I spent 8 years at the UN. I can tell you that unless the United States leads, there is no good policy. We can't just say global order and everybody abide by the rules.
What do you think about the fact, Rick, that COVID did not come up at all? And this idea that, again, it's something that killed a million Americans, millions around the world, and President Biden, when face-to-face with President Xi, wasn't willing to bring it up.
Look, I'm going to say something that's a little bit controversial, but I believe it to be true. The Biden administration and Democrats have benefited from COVID. They've benefited from the political fallout, and they leveraged all of the big rules that they needed in order to win elections and to really manipulate the votes. And what I mean by manipulate the votes, let me be very clear. When you use COVID as an excuse to recklessly send out mail-in ballots, and you send them to people because you say, oh, you can't go to the polls because of COVID, or we need to send these ballots, but then you have unions go door to door and collect these ballots, that is a recipe for disaster. And we should do a whole show on this ballot harvesting issue that has now come up. It's illegal in some states, but it is allowed in other states. And this is a disaster in the making. I don't believe that it's a moral way to do elections. Although it is legal in some places, yeah. I think it's immoral. Yeah, but when it comes to COVID, we should have absolutely said to the Chinese, you didn't have the protections around that lab. We know through intelligence that that's where COVID started. You literally wreaked havoc on the world, and we should find a way to punish them for it.
You know, Rick, I want you to take this call because I get why Mel's called in from Colorado on line one, and I want to let Mel talk. Hey, Mel, welcome to Secul. You're on the air.
Well, thanks. I've been listening to your program for many, many years with your dad, going back to the abortion thing back in the 70s and so on. You know, and I'm not a big caller in. I like to listen to the programs, but sure. I just had a call in when you guys questioned about the election results here and the runoff between Walker and Warnock, you know. And I said, I've got to call. You know, I've got to get this thing off my back, you know, and I agree with Rick. There's a lot of things going on that we conservative Republicans have got to take a stand. We can't allow these people to continue doing what they're doing. We got to take a stand. There's too many red flags that have gone up, and they say, "Oh, you're an election denier." That's all you're, and you're not. Ask Hillary, you're not, and Abrams, you're not, and you're pointing at us and saying we're election deniers. When things are pointing to some things that are not really legal. Ballots harvesting and forcing and paying people for their votes and stuff like that. We know that's happening, but this is happening to a larger degree than most Americans are really aware of. And we need to investigate these things. I don't care what the Democrats say, you know, and it really angers me because we don't do anything. And you said, is this going to cause you to be affected in a negative way with the elections? Yeah, you're darn right. I'm a strong Republican. I'm a conservative to the core. But if we keep seeing these things happening, then it just kind of weakens me and weakens me. What's the sense? What's the point?
What's the point of voting, I think, is what you're getting at. And Rick, this is what we've kind of touched on at ACLJ, and we've touched on it just while we were talking just then. You know, coming up in Georgia, one thing I said is that, you know, like the laws, don't like the laws, understand the early voting laws, and we need to start banking more votes early. And then we can have that discussion about should that be in place at all? What can we do in the states to, again, continue to ensure election integrity? And I don't like those super early voting states because I feel like people haven't gotten a full picture of who they're voting for yet. But when the law is in place and when you know the parameters of how to stay within the law, I think Republicans, at least for the short term, have better start using to every ability possible to the extent of the law.
Yeah. A couple of rapid points. First of all, Mel, thanks for that call. I think you've got a great point here. And you do have to step up and call and get active and not just sit and listen. So thank you for doing that. I think he's right in the fact that, you know, we're really frustrated. But let's talk about a couple of things. The media are always going to call us a racist, sexist, homophobe, Russian agent, or an election denier. Those are the things. So get comfortable being called names by the media and let it slide off the back. That's the first point. The second point is that we have a terrible problem with ballot harvesting. Again, it's legal, as we pointed out. But I believe it's immoral. We have to be able to change those laws, or we have to abide by the law and do what they're doing, because we have to be very serious about what's going on and be able to put forward our beliefs. I believe that churches are going to have to ballot harvest. If that is exactly what the law is and it's legal, we can't be complaining about it. We're going to have to do that. We can work to change the law, but we have to also recognize that we've got to play hard. Lastly, I'll just say this. It was very disappointing to see the numbers that many Republicans didn't come out to vote in this midterm. That's just a reality. We lost independents big time, and a lot of Republicans didn't come out to vote. I don't know what the answer is. We should do a whole show on listening to callers on why Republicans didn't come out to vote. Did they hear red wave too much, and they thought my vote doesn't matter? What is the deal? Why did that happen? We should drill down on that, Jordan. But I have to say, you've got to get out and vote. You have to vote early. You can't just vote on election day. I think that's a mistake to say just vote on election day, because then the weather, or we have some other problems that develop with machines or ink. We had a toner problem in Arizona. So we can't just rely on bombarding election day with our votes. We got to vote earlier. But vote, vote, vote. Do not sit by and allow your country to be taken over by this left, by these lefties.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. And we saw that here, even locally. I saw massive lines on election day, and like, I was one of the people in the lines waiting hours. You start those when you were in hour two, your mind starts creeping into, I live in a pretty red area. Is this really, I got to get back to my kids. Stuff starts changing, and you do have those things. But also what we talked about in the last segment is, I do think, where Republicans and conservatives maybe laughed at, and some of it rightfully so, some of the social media engagement that the Democrats did with who they invited to the White House and some of the interviews that they were allowing and some of these what felt like silly content pieces. They use the influencer culture well. That's something that they got missed out, and the conservatives don't really do. We don't really embrace some of this new media quickly. And when that happens is you have, a mass majority of the new voters, of the Gen Z voters, coming in and voting Democrat, because they, in some of their platforms where they're getting news and media, there's not even a voice to be heard.
That's such a great point. And ACLJ does a really good job of engaging with young people and trying to do, young people focused education, books and videos. I think that children's books and videos is incredibly important. We have to be able to engage on that social media front. We've done a poor job of doing that.
We are in the matching challenge, folks, and obviously we now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get 200. We encourage you to do it.
Yeah, and as you said, I think the overturning of Roe obviously was a massive victory that a lot of us never thought we'd see in our lifetime. However, what that does is open up likely 50 plus, actually, territories and all that, 50 plus cases that could happen and that will be part of in each and individual states.
Even in pro-life states.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because there's always, a lot of these states, the percentiles can go either way.
Yep.
All right, again, support the work of the ACLJ. We are a part of our matching challenge right now. Be a part of it at aclj.org. Any donation made is effectively doubled by a member who is ready to match your funds. We'll be right back with more on Secula.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Casey, I wanted to go to you. We've got another victory update to report out of our office in Pakistan. We're going to be bringing a lot more content to people so they can see these victories. I think we've got images, too, of this family. Let's tell the story and then what happened.
Yeah, this is a great and interesting story. It's a great victory. There was a Christian family at the beginning of the year. The Christian wife actually left her family, her husband, her three-year-old daughter, and her six-month-old son, and ran off with a Muslim man. About a month later, the Muslim man started calling the Christian husband and threatening him to convert to Islam or else. He shows up at his house with a gun, and the neighbors hear it and actually run him off. So just the threats continued. And in September, the Muslim man actually abducted the Christian man and his little daughter, took him to their house, had hundreds of Muslims there, threatening him, beating the Christian man, actually asked the little girl who she wanted to live with, her mother or her father, and this sweet little three-year-old girl said, "I want to live with my papa and Jesus' papa." They were so angry at that that they pushed her, dislocated her shoulder, and slapped her. They went to the police. The police said they could do nothing. So for about two months, they were basically in hiding, fearing for their life, sleeping on people's floors, friends, neighbors' floors. And then they heard about our office in Pakistan. They came to our office. We were able to immediately get them into a safe house. And then we sent off applications to several high officials, the Minister of Interior, Inspector General of Punjab, the Home Secretary, and the Ministry of Human Rights, seeking an application seeking protection. And amazingly, within 10 days, the Inspector General's office called and said that they had directed the police to protect this family, which is a huge win.
And we've got the photo here of the family so people can see it. So you can see blurred faces. That, again, is to make sure, because we had to put the children in an orphanage, the father in a safe house. They're now reunited, the family. The daughter, and we've got a video interview of this family.
Yep.
The oldest daughter, who you can see standing, saw her father being beaten by about 200 men and was even told by those groups, come with us, become a Muslim, and convert. And she refused to leave her dad's side.
Just crazy.
Really wild stories, sad stories. But because of what we're doing in Pakistan, the people responsible are going to jail. They're getting in trouble. I mean, we've got life sentences. We've got 25 years in prison, in a Pakistani prison. I mean, that sends a big message to even the Muslim majority there, especially out in some of these more rural areas. You do this, you could be giving your life away.
Yeah, it's some of the incredible work we're doing here that I think a lot of times gets overlooked by American politics or whatever's happening right now. That's what we've been talking about in the last segment is I think there's a misunderstanding of how the world works. We kind of feel very isolated in America in the way that society is, but we are everywhere. The ACLJ is everywhere. We have teams around the world doing incredible work, life-altering, life-threatening work that can get, again, like you said, very intense topics, but we can actually see movement, positive movement. I think a lot of people think of this part of the world and may think, it's lost cause.
Right. And this was really, I can't stress enough, you know, what a great outcome this was. The fact that, you know, after we did these applications, within 10 days, the Inspector General's office calls and says, we're not going to tolerate this. We've put the police on notice to let this Muslim community know that this type of action will not be tolerated here. And that is a huge win, not only for our client, as Jordan said, who got to be reunited with his small children and will not have these threats, but really for the whole Christian community, because the Muslim community has been put on notice that this kind of action will not be tolerated.
All right. I want to take a call coming in. Val in Texas on line one. Hey, Val.
Hey, how are y'all doing today? And thank you for allowing me to ask you a question.
Thanks, Val.
I was wondering, I feel like fentanyl is an epidemic right now. I mean, it's way past, you know, it's being just drug trafficked and things like that. It's an epidemic. And minor children are starting to die from the candy fentanyl that they've been handing out. My question is, will the ACLJ be filing anything against the executive branch or any other, you know, Homeland Security or the FBI or anything for them not.
It's our government's inaction. Our job is to expose it, and so that you can then decide if you want that government in charge. You know, it's hard to bring legal direct actions against the government. You can. We've done it with the IRS. And where it starts with FOIA. And I know we preach that a lot. We've already got the FOIA in on this.
Let me explain what that is. People don't know.
The Freedom of Information Act request. It allows you to go to the government to say, you know, we saw this information, like on fentanyl, or at the border, or both, combine it together. And for instance, I'll quote our FOIA, the border. It's a FOIA. You know, the heading is on the border, but it requests documents related to, quote, what actions are being taken to protect Americans from crime, terror, drugs, trafficking, or border crossers who are on the terror watch list. So it's all there, and then we fight to get those documents. Are they doing anything? We talked about it. It's like become a partisan issue, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's almost become like a boogeyman scenario, the fentanyl crisis, except for it's actually killing millions of people, and we don't seem to be taking it very seriously. I saw a lot of people, you know, when... Truth be told, when it became a, you know, Val brought up like for children, we know that there has been children who've just come in contact with it that have died or have had severe medical emergencies. Same with just people who've come in contact with this substance. The problem is it almost becomes a situation where you start talking about, oh, are they going to put fentanyl in our kids' Halloween buckets? And that almost trivializes it as much as it is a real concern. We've trivialized a real concern in a concern that is actively killing thousands of people a week. But for some reason, like you said, it's become politics. It's become how we treat people at the border. It hasn't become it really should be maybe the most unifying piece of American life right now, saying not unlike the AIDS crisis, not unlike a lot of these where you have to go and say, okay, there's things that can be done. Let's start to implement them. Let's get behind it and push forward. Instead, it becomes conservative versus liberal, and for some reason, the break with the liberal is, oh, the fentanyl crisis is nothing. The break with conservatives is it's everything, and we need to figure out how to actually get people educated and then how to stop it, and I'm deeply concerned that it has become a topic that it's been trivialized.
You know, folks, all this work that we do is because of your financial support of the ACLJ. If you can't donate today at aclj.org, you'll see right at the top the matching challenge. So it, just what it means. And it's a great example. So if today, you know, you can't give what you usually would give, if you usually would donate something like $100, well, if you donated $50, that will be matched by another $50. So it's like $100. If you donated $25, it'll be matched by a $25 donation. That's $50. So it's a great time because you double the impact of the money that you do donate. And we know, again, you're making tough decisions right now, but if you're in that position where you're still making contributions, what we have is a group of donors that will match your donation. That's that. So if you donate $30, they will match that $30. So it's like giving $60 to the ACLJ. So it's a good time that if you've had to cut back on your charitable contributions because of the economy, we understand that. It's why we launched these matches now so that you can still have the same impact with your donation. That's at aclj.org. And Logan, that's a great place for people to go.
Go to aclj.org. Look at the incredible content that's on there for absolutely free. You need to go take a look at that. However, if you can financially support, this is the perfect time to do it. Headed towards the end of the year, some of the most important months of the year. All you need to do is make a donation, and effectively, it is doubled. So we understand people are under financial crowd problems right now, but if you can, if it's $5, we would appreciate it. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever.
This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be covering a lot of topics today. And we're just a few couple days away from Thanksgiving, so a lot of you are traveling, probably listening to us while you're in your car. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, coming up in just a few days. We're going to talk about, because as we're giving thanks here in the United States for the liberties and freedoms we have, we've been focusing a couple of times on our broadcast over the last month or so, Logan, on our office in Pakistan, because one of our lawyers that supervised that office from the United States just came back from Pakistan, Shahriyar Gill, and we got a very good report about the work they're doing. I saw a report, CC and I reviewed a report, I think it was just last week, and the amount of work that's coming out of that office in Pakistan on persecution issues, and I'm talking about, folks, I mean, real persecution.
Real persecution.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you can't have your Bible in school and somebody's objecting. I mean, those are important discrimination cases. You handle those. I'm talking about people losing their lives because of their faith or put in jail for life because of their faith.
Yeah, we're going to be exposing a lot of that and showcasing that also in upcoming video pieces and documentaries. There's so much incredible footage that's come out of there.
On the Pakistan.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to come out over the next year. And I think that's the work of the ACLJ. Sometimes when you get in these political seasons, you don't necessarily see all of that work. Sometimes we can't talk about all that work, but it is assuredly happening. It is something that is very important to everyone and everyone who works here and the crew that works here to make sure these kind of messages, not just what's going on in the world of Washington and, like you said, what would be considered Christian persecution in America. This is the real deal. This is stuff that's happening all over the world, and we have offices and we have people who are ready to work everywhere.
Now, it's interesting to me that, CC, look at the situation in Pakistan. We're able to address it in Pakistan, but also at the United Nations, where we have non-governmental organization status, so we can intervene in all of these cases, arbitrary detention. I mean, there's a whole list of them. So the work, when you're talking about a particular country, takes on multifacets when we're handling it.
Yeah, and what's amazing about our work in Pakistan is how successful we've been able to be in these cases. And like you said, we're talking about, you know, real persecution where, you know, a 17-year-old kid is accused of falsely of blasphemy and he's been sitting in prison for 5 years and we're able to, you know, help represent him, or, you know, a Christian who's murdered simply because he's trying to protect other Christian women that are being targeted by, you know, Muslim men, and then they go to his house and murder him. And in Pakistan, we're able to actually help the prosecution in those cases, or, you know, a little 3-year-old girl that was raped by a Muslim man. Those are cases that we're able to jump in, help prosecute, and we've been winning. And so we're really, really making a difference, you know, in Pakistan, which is an area where you might not think that we would be able to, but we are.
And that includes also, though, not just work in the country, but I also want to talk for a moment here about the United Nations. We, like I said, we have non-governmental organization status at the UN. We file reports on every country of concern when it comes up. They call it these periodic reports.
Right.
Constantly. This is a lot of what CC does is we're filing. There's usually, is it 14 per session?
Yes, so we have the Universal Periodic Review. Literally, will review every one of the 193 member states at the UN over a 5-year period. And there's 3 sessions a year, and in each one of those sessions, there are 14 countries that we review. And so we do reports on those. We also do reports when the Human Rights Council meets, which is, again, 3 times a year.
Yep.
We do countries that are really the persecution countries, like Pakistan, and we're able to do oral interventions as well. And so we're constantly engaging at the United Nations.
I'm telling you, folks, in that work, I will tell you this, over the next couple of years is going to increase drastically. I can't go into the details of that right now, but I will tell you that's where your support comes in. We can staff these situations, staff these offices, expand our outreach based on your support of the ACLJ. Logan's going to let you know how you can participate in the Matching Challenge campaign, folks. We are getting near the end of November here. It's really important that you do it.
Yeah, it's very easy. You should go to ACLJ.org and make a donation of any kind. And essentially, there is another donor ready to unlock and match your donation. So if you give $10, effectively it becomes $20 and so on and so on. And we appreciate it. I know this is a hard time on a lot of people right now with what's going on in the world. But if you do have the means, this would be a great time to give, because, again, your donation is effectively doubled. So visit ACLJ.org right now to be part of the Matching Challenge.
At
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls, too, on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me set the stage for you. U.S. government. Well, let's play the pipe. Hear them in their own words. This is Secretary Mayorkas answering a question by Benny Thompson, who is a Democrat from Mississippi. So not a Republican putting him on the spot. Take a listen, Bite 5.
Secretary Mayorkas, last year you said that, quote, domestic violent extremism poses the most lethal and persistent terrorism-related threat to our country today. Is that still true?
Mr. Chairman, that continues to be our assessment in the Department of Homeland Security, that domestic violent extremism, particularly through lone actors or small groups loosely affiliated, are spurred to violence by ideologies of hate, anti-government sentiments, personal grievances, and other narratives propagated on online platforms.
Personal grievances, I don't even know if that would fall under domestic violent extremism. Personal grievances. Usually when you think violent domestic extremism, it's more focused at something that is bigger than one
terror
person.
Terror attacks or...
But here's the problem.
Mass shootings, those kind of things.
We're talking about Pegasus. You take up arms against the United States, guess what you lose? Constitutional protections.
Yeah.
You'll just go back to civil
war.
So
it totally depends on how that is defined.
So if you define someone as a domestic violent extremist... Then are they like the same person as someone who works for like a foreign government? Have they lost their, given up their U.S. rights in a sense?
Yeah.
Unknowingly, it could happen.
Yeah, just because they decided to support a certain political
then
candidate.
Thus they contracted without getting a search warrant.
It sounds like that, if I'm being honest. I mean, the fact that, you know, our producer came in and was talking about DVEs, and I was like, the fact that they've made that a common thing that people say.
So many acronyms.
That should say a lot. Because I've never heard that being thrown around, DVEs, domestic violent extremism. That is just putting a label on a group of people. Sure, are there legitimate domestic violent extremists? Of course. Are there a lot of people who have been labeled that are certainly not? Also, of course.
Yeah.
It all just depends on what? The media? Who's deciding? Where's the line? These are when there's gray areas, and the gray areas are really, they're too politically motivated.
Let's put the photo up. We got FBI, suddenly, the Republicans are one seat away from taking the House.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI's released an image of one of the attackers in Jane's Revenge who attacked and firebombed that Buffalo pro-life pregnancy center. They're now actually trying to find the person.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
How many months later was that? Six? There it is. All right, we're going to watch the video if you're watching. It's going to a car, setting a situation, running away.
Smashing, fire. There's the Molotov cocktail.
Why'd he put the mask on after?
Probably didn't know how far the cameras.
Maybe.
Could have been more than one person, too.
Yeah.
Okay, why did that take the
months to reveal?
Right, yeah. Because
they don't care about the pro-life pregnancy center.
That's domestic violent extremism, by the way, folks. Now, is it the type that you should lose your U.S. citizenship? No. You still have rights. You're a criminal, but you have rights.
You should go to jail.
Absolutely, you should go to jail.
Yeah, prison.
You should be prosecuted. You get, you get to innocent until proven
guilty. They caught that person, or is this just footage they're just putting out there?
I mean, there's like a license plate by block.
Looking for him. Yeah. It's like the kids.
6 months later. This happened before the official Roe decision, I think, even came out, right? This was like
around that time, yeah.
So this was one of the most egregious because they used a Molotov cocktail to blow up.
I mean, it's pretty horrifying when you watch it.
Yeah, that's a pro-life pregnancy center.
Yeah, and we know.
So tell me about domestic violent extremism.
They've been attacked for, I mean, the pro-life pregnancy centers for legitimately just doing good work in their community. Even if you disagree with their political point of view, I don't see how you look at them and go, well, those are evil people. I mean, it's pretty disturbing that that's even a part of the conversation.
How about the fentanyl dealers? I would put them in a category of violent extremists.
Yeah,
because they're trying to kill Americans.
Oh yeah, hopefully they're on track. I mean, sadly, just like the Price's Pregnancy Center, it's become for some reason a conservative talking point to talk against fentanyl.
I know, it's very weird. It's like this just kills Americans. Doesn't matter what your politics. No. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter if you're from a bad area of town. Or a good area town.
Because it's about the border.
Doesn't matter if you're healthy.
That's what
or
they'll
not.
Say. It's about the border. But it's not about the border. I mean, it is in
border
general.
Involves the Chinese and the border. Two things they don't want to talk about negatively. They love the Chinese. And they love, because they make so much money off doing business with them. And they love the open borders.
It's the weird liberal heart that I don't understand. And I've been trying to struggle. I struggle with it. Because I go, okay, I understand that you see people flooding across the border and you want there to be, people have freedom in our country that they don't get in other places. I understand that part of it. I do. I don't understand when you see the chaos that it's causing and the death it's causing, destruction. And look, I can see sort of on the flip side, maybe on the COVID front, similar where it feels like people were blind to the actual destruction that it was causing. I don't understand this one. I don't understand how... like you said, we see this video of a pro-life pregnancy center getting bombed. We're seeing millions of people die from COVID and from the fentanyl crisis. And the fentanyl crisis.
What about Paul Pelosi's attack? What about the guy who was trying to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you his name.
Right.
But I know everything about DePape.
Yeah, you know how he's gone from this
liberal
Canadian to a conspiracy theory.
That's the headlines you see everywhere. Right. Those guys are created as these almost cartoon villains that we're used to seeing in Batman. But the ones who are on the other side, it's too political. And that's the big concern with this with the FBI, is that this will be a political tool, not a tool actually to stop real domestic terrorism, which, again, is almost like the tables have turned. When you looked at the formation of the Patriot Act back in 2001, that was a highly conservative move. Same with war. Those are things that have now shifted dramatically, where the more liberal side of it are the more pro-war, and they are more pro-surveillance and stopping people that they consider to be bad. And the conservatives are out there.
They quickly do it. Like, they go 100% behind Ukraine without doing any research.
Yeah.
And I get, again, Zelensky is a persuasive figure.
Yeah. Some of that's heart. Some of that is good heart.
Yes.
And I appreciate
Mike Pompeo spoke about it last night. He said, the thing about Ukraine is this. We need them to win because we need to beat the idea of Russia being this great power.
We can do this.
Okay. And, so that's one thing. But number two is he did say it's a very corrupt country. So while we should support them through these efforts, when it's over, to become a real ally, which they're not part of NATO yet and all of that, they've got a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Democrats, if you say that, they think you're pro-Russian.
Yeah.
Now listen to what I just said, though. I just said we need to help them win so that we can then help them clean up their country.
Ukraine sadly became a flavor of the week for that part of social media and the internet. Some of it was because, obviously you see the imagery, everything that happened. You want to get behind it. You want to support people who are unjustly, but you're right. It becomes a hero worship and almost idolatry very quickly instead of actually looking at the facts. And look, I know nothing of good or bad. I mean, there's both probably all political leaders, whether that's Zelensky or whether that is.
It's not even so much him. It's that it's just a highly corrupt country. Everyone knew that before.
Right.
So don't put him on too much of a pedestal.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They're fighting a bad guy. So that's the right pedestal. But this is not like the perfect place.
Yeah. And you especially start hero worshiping.
Right.
And
they're human beings.
And I'm interested to, they're human beings in a part of the world we don't really understand if you're Americans.
Not, we don't think Eastern. We think Western. Yeah. We love putting people on a pedestal.
We don't even really understand Europe, I feel like most Americans, much less.
Even Western Europe.
Western Europe, then Eastern Europe, then.
Yeah, it's a totally different way of thinking about everything.
Right.
Just culturally.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that...
Not wrong or right, just culturally.
There are things that are happening in Russia and in Ukraine that if we're happening in America, there would be riots in the streets, and it's just the normal laws there.
And normal life.
And normal life,
just accept that as part of life. Yeah. Life is kind of dark and cold and dreary.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll take some calls, though, too, like coming up.
The fairy tales of the bears.
Yes. Oh, exactly.
It's all kind of, it's a different kind of darkness. Our fairy tales are dark too.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs are even like next level.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of come off of the Germanic fairy tales. The next one they are coming from are a little bit different. We will be taking some phone calls.
That's right.
1-800-684-3110.
We've got a great update.
Love to hear your thoughts.
Work in Pakistan as well. We're going to get to that. But yeah, I really want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
The idea that this power is inside the hands of the government as we speak.
Yeah.
They could start tracking, not just tracking your phone's location. We are talking about every single thing on your phone.
Keystrokes.
All the time. Not at one time. Not like they grab it. Oh, we've got it for now. But indefinitely in the future.
Let me encourage you also, folks, support the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. If you're able to donate, we really appreciate it. Again, that's at ACLJ.org. Now, Jordan and Logan have this podcast. It's called Secular Brothers. It's doing great. You can get it wherever you listen to your podcast. A lot of people are watching it on Rumble and on Facebook and YouTube. But also people are downloading it as well traditionally. So we encourage you to do any of those.
Yeah, so we encourage you to check that out. It's very different than our show here. We don't hold back much on that
podcast. You saying we hold back here?
Well, I mean...
A little bit.
It's a different audience.
Not as buttoned up.
Definitely not as buttoned up.
Folks, thank you for supporting the work of the ACLJ. It's this broadcast. It's cases at the Supreme Court. It's cases at the school board. Your support makes that big of a difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And again, ACLJ.org for that matching challenge.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
So welcome back. We are taking your phone calls. We're going to make this a very interactive program. Professor Harry Hutchinson is going to join us in the second half hour. 1-800-684-3110. Probably the earliest announcement of a presidential run in certainly in modern presidential history, 2 years before the election. That means as of when the president filed the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission, he is now under the auspices of the FEC, which it does impact a lot of how you fundraise, how money moves around. I mean, so this is a very interesting dynamic. You know, the interesting thing is, and I'm going to get right to the calls in a moment here, is if you look at the kind of the hit points that he gave in the beginning, Donald Trump, he said inflation was basically non-existent. That was true. Southern border was the strongest that it had been. It was still problems on the border, and he acknowledged that, but it was the strongest. We were energy independent. Historic tax cuts and regulations. By the way, some of those are going to start expiring pretty soon here. I was talking with my family about that yesterday, so that's going to be a whole thing. China was paying tariffs to get goods into the United States. ISIS was defeated, the caliphate, in about a month. North Korea did not launch a single long-range missile. And he bragged about his relationship with Kim Jong-un. And then, of course, the Supreme Court, three Supreme Court justices. Now, those are accomplishments. The question oftentimes, I think, CeCe, and then we're going to get right to the phones, is the policies were great. Was the messaging or the messenger the right person to deliver? And is the country ready for that again? Which we're going to hear from our folks. But it's hard to argue with the policy part.
Right. The policies were great. I mean, we see that. We see that with the Supreme Court that we have. We see that with everything you just listed. I think America was in a time of really greatness under his administration. Again, like you said, the messenger, sometimes he can be polarizing. Yeah. And you know, attacking people. And I think we didn't see that, which maybe was a little bit shocking to people because yeah. It wasn't the typical Donald Trump demeanor.
No, it wasn't. All right. So we said we're going to take calls and our phone lines are jammed. And as soon as line and open up, I'm going to let you know. Right now, we don't have any open, but keep calling. They'll open up. Let's go to Carolyn in Idaho on line three. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a longtime listener and supporter. I do support Trump. But I think from different ones that I visited with, his attacking his possible opposing people by calling them names, some of us just think he's losing about 30%, 25 to 30% of his following.
You know, and it's interesting, and he made that, the statement about Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis came back in and said, look at the scoreboard, which I thought was actually a pretty effective response. It's interesting you said you think he's losing about 25 or 30% of his base support. If he does, he would not be the nominee of the Republican Party.
That's right.
So he's got to be thinking about that.
That's right. And I think that's what's going to be interesting in these next few months. He's announced very early his candidacy, and we'll just have to see if that is going to play out, you know, in his favor or against him. And I think probably the people that are going to throw in their hats are waiting to see that as well.
I think you're right. Now, you want a robust primary process. It's interesting that President Trump has started this primary process so early. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But the question is going to be, can you keep the focus? I mean, you and I litigate. We do cases. Keeping a jury engaged for 2 weeks is difficult. Keeping a country engaged for 2 years.
Right.
Because other folks may not announce folks for 6-8 months, a year. I mean, right. Probably not a year, but 8 or 10 months.
Keeping that focus and energy up is going to be a trial. Because,
yeah.
Again, like you said, it's 2 years. And to keep energy and excitement about your candidacy going for 2 years when you don't have other people in the race officially right now, it's going to be a challenge. And, again, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
All right, let's go ahead and take Ronald from South Carolina on line four. Ronald, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm enjoying this segment so far. And my question is Trump the likely candidate to run and to, if he wins, to reverse much of the executive orders that Biden and the bad policies that Biden has put out that has literally wrecked this country?
I think whoever the Republican nominee is, if they were to win the general election, will reverse those policies. I think you would see a sea change of reversal of policies. Now, so much of that depends, Ronald, on what happens in the House and Senate. Now, as of right now, while we're live today, We still cannot call the House for the Republicans, although it is very likely that the Republicans are going to end up about 220, 221 seats. So Kevin McCarthy has the votes to be the Speaker of the House. So Nancy Pelosi will no longer be the Speaker come January when the new Congress is sworn in. But in the Senate, it looks like, you know, at best, it's going to be, well, they got control of the Senate. And so all Herschel Walker could do if he wins is get it back to 50-50, but the tiebreaker is still Kamala Harris, the vice president. So, you know, and who knows who they're going to put up. But I think any Republican is, if you run on policy points, and I think that's where, you know, you got to take a look at like the stock market, for instance. And this was a point he made yesterday. The Dow closed, when Donald Trump went to office, the Dow was like at 17,000. Or 16,000. It closed for the first time at 20,000 and topped 30,000 in 2020. 2 years later, we're still barely staying above 30,000. We've been down in the 28,000 range. So you ask the right questions, Ronald, when it comes to policy. I again question, I'm not a political scientist, but I question whether you can keep the enthusiasm and the focus in play. For the next 2 years, I think the giant rallies, you know, these are very expensive things to put off. You don't get money from the RNC anymore. He's a candidate. It's just a whole different ballgame.
It is a whole different ballgame. And I think maybe the one advantage that Trump would have getting back into office is that he had been there for 4 years.
Yes.
So he knows the pitfalls. He knows, you know, where the blockages are and what he can and cannot do, which there is, I'm sure, a learning curve for any person who, you know, takes the office of president in those first few months. So that would be, I think, the one advantage he would have is that he already has that learning curve done. But again, it's going to be keeping the energy and the focus and the messaging out for 2 full years.
All right, Dave's calling from California. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the last couple of callers. They covered everything. But I guess my question now would be, do you think, two things, do you think Donald Trump can ignite himself? Can he change and make the changes? Because he, you know, I'm a conservative. I love Donald Trump, but I think so many people that I talk to, he's toxic and they're concerned about the future of the country and what he's putting off to the young voters, that he's just too aggressive and he's brutal to people. And so my question would be, do you think, you know him probably as good as any of us, calling. So can he retool? And second would be DeSantis. I think he represents everything that Trump is, but he doesn't have that toxicity about him. And so a lot of the people that I'm talking to, conservative people, are leaning DeSantis at this point.
So you asked a great question. Could he? Could the president change his tone? Could he change the way in which he delivers a message? Could he? Yes. He was a TV star. Yes. Will he? That's a very different question. And that's where I think the issue is. The toxicity issue, as you mentioned, look, I think there are people, that's why we're having a conversation. This is, I think, an important day to have a conversation because, like I said, historically, we never had a presidential race starting this early. I mean, this is totally unprecedented. We're taking your calls on this at 800-684-3110. But let me encourage you also to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. As you know, I can't even believe we're in the middle of November already. But November and December are our biggest months of the year for the ACLJ. So your support for the ACLJ is going to make a huge difference. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate, if you're able, is doubled because of our matching challenge campaign. That's aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.